Good evening. Good to see all of you tonight. And good to be here. Okay. So we have been going through the statement of faith of our chapel. And we have been highlighting some of the doctrines in that statement of faith. And last few weeks, we have been discussing about the doctrine of salvation. So we discussed about regeneration. What is another word for regeneration? Rebirth. Any other term? Born from above, born again, born of God, new creation. So that is one aspect of salvation. Then we talked about election. What do we understand about election? Are we elect? Sure we are, right? Chosen. Who chose us? God chose us. Pardon me? God the Father. When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. Past eternity. For what purpose? Great. For his glory. How are we going to bring glory to him? Right? We have to bring glory to him for his glory. Obeying. Right? Here obeying and for eternity, for the ages to come. We are the praise of his glory, right? So election. Then what was the next one we discussed? Anybody remember? Justification. What is justification? Just as if I have never sinned. Being forgiven, the forgiveness is there, that making you just, but more importantly, because you are just, that's why you are justified. That means all sin with so sin with the guilt, and the guilt too. So that's why we were not sin at all. Then Tim said it was imputed on Christ. So that is the basis. If you look at regeneration, justification is declared righteous. In order for someone to be declared righteous, that person has to be what? Because we know that justification is what? It's a legal term. That means it is something used in a courtroom setting when a judge says, when you are not guilty or justified or righteous. That means the declaration the judge did not make you righteous. He looked at all the evidence and said, I don't see any guilt. I don't see any fault. I don't see anything worthy of punishment there. Nothing. Everything is perfect in Gwen. So because she's already righteous. So Tim said that was because why? Why she is righteous? Because what? Yeah, and in that place, what did Gwen get in that place? If Christ took all her sins, that means all the guilt, everything was taken away, buried in the deepest sea, removed as far as east from the west, erased, remember no more, justified. That means Christ took it. Then when he died on the cross, he paid the penalty. It is finished, paid off completely, nailed to the cross, we read in Colossians. That means it's taken care of, never to remember again. In that place, 2 Corinthians 2, 5:21 says what? The one who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we may have the... So the righteousness of God was given in exchange. So now, the next process is, because of the righteousness in us, God declared us righteous. A person who is condemned because found all the evidence of guilt and fault and sin, because that is in that person still, was never taken away. In a courtroom sitting too, when a judge make the declaration guilty, that means the evidence shows that there's guilt, there's sin, there's fault. So that person is convicted because of what is happening. So it's a declaration. So here is, so we are justified because of imputed righteousness. So the basis of the justification is imputed righteousness. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross, when he died, he took away our sins. In that place, we were given the righteousness of God. So declare righteous. Because now, because of that reason, we are born again. We are regenerated. The seed is planted in us. A new creation, a new nature, a divine nature is given to us. That needs to germinate now. That is placed within us. So we talked about regeneration, election, justification, and what? What is sanctification? Set apart for God. Now, because we read we are placed in the heavenlies, we are made alive, seated in the heavenly, raised us up, made us alive, raised us up with Christ, and seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. So, what are the nature or properties of things in heaven? Anything which has to be near to God, has to have a connection with God, has to be what? Holy. Holy, right? So if we are, our position is that we are in the heavenlies, we are seated with Christ in the heaven. Another Colossians chapter 3, we read, we are hidden with Christ, we are hidden in God. Hidden with Christ in God. If we are in God, then what is the number one characteristics we have? We have to be without sin. We have to be holy, right? That means we are already sanctified, without sin, completely pure. So sanctification is set apart for God. Or separated for God. And what is another word for sanctification? Purification, holiness, holy to the Lord, right? So all those speaks about sanctification. Now we discussed about three aspects of sanctification. What are those? Positional sanctification, number one. Practical sanctification, number two. What is number three? Perfect sanctification. Right, perfect. That's the ultimate sanctification. So positional happens when? When we are saved. That means positionally we are saved. That is our position, our standing with God. We are perfect in His sight. We are sinless. We are holy. That's why we are in the heavenlies. That's the reason we are there. And that must lead to practical sanctification. There is another word for it, because practical sanctification begins when? Positionally, we are perfect. But God designed the sanctification in a way. Sanctification overall, it's an act of God. The triune God is involved in it. Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we are positionally, our standing with God is that we are perfect. We are sanctified. We are holy. Otherwise, we have no connection with God. Now, that is designed in a way that it must be practiced in our life. So that practical sanctification begins when? With a new birth, with new regeneration. Begins at regeneration. So practically, there is some change happens when we are born again. Because we are born from above. We are born of God, born by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. So we are a new creation right away. There has to be some change. We are not perfect. Then that progresses. That's why it's called progressive sanctification. Practical sanctification is called progressive sanctification. That progresses through our lifetime. True or false, we can attain perfect sanctification in this life. True or false? True. We can attain perfect sanctification in this life? No. No. Who said true? Who said false? Okay. All right. We are supposed to strive for that. But we are not able to. Yeah. If you say we do not sin, we lie, because we do. In this body, we are going to be tempted, and sometimes we're going to give temptation. We are going to sin. That is the nature of living in this body. But there is progressive sanctification. That means the graph should go up. Even though there's up and down, it should always should be going up. So the perfect sanctification will be attained when we die or when the rapture takes place. Growing in Christ-likeness. That's another word for progressive sanctification. So I am going to read from our statement of faith question. Yes. Yeah, we are perfectly sanctified when we were saved before God. We are perfect. We are perfectly holy. But the practical sanctification in this life, we cannot be perfect. We cannot be perfect in this life in a practical way. But that will be completed when our soul will be completely sanctified. And our body will be sanctified when we get our new body completely. Yeah, but our soul is sanctified before God. But because we live in this body, in this practically our soul is also in progressive sanctification. That's why in 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy 5:23. When Paul prayed that, may God, what was that verse? Let me see. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God and God of peace himself sanctify you completely. That is a process. He's praying for that complete sanctification. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that you are moving towards that completeness. It will be completed when the Lord Jesus comes. So the practical sanctification affects our body, our spirit, our soul, and our body. Okay, let me read from this statement of faith. If you have a copy, you can look at it. If not, I'll just read. Please pay attention. We teach that every believer is sanctified set apart unto God by justification, and is therefore declared to be holy and identified as a saint. Okay, let me ask you a question. Who is a saint? Good, good answer. Who is a saint? Yeah, other than that. She has to be a saint to live with me. Who? Yeah. Yeah, who is a saint? All believers, right? Yeah, yeah. So we are set apart for God. We are a saint. And the dictionary says, a saint is a person who is recognized as having an exceptional degree of holiness or likeness or closeness to God. That is the word, English word saint means. The biblical definition is, that also the dictionary, the Wikipedia says, it defines the biblical definition, which says, any believer who is in Christ and in whom Christ lives, that is a saint. How do we become a saint? When God saves, gives us his righteousness, we are saints, right? Then he declares us to be saint. A sinner is declared to be a saint at that moment. So that is, so let me continue this. So we are saint. We identified as saint. So this sanctification is positional and instantaneous and should not be confused with practical sanctification. Positional sanctification has to do with the believer's standing, not his present walk or condition. And I'll read some of the verses listed in this statement of faith connected with this positional sanctification. Now, these verses will support the fact we are all sanctified the moment we were saved or given that righteousness or regenerated. Acts 20, verse 32 says, and I know you want to turn to it, it's fine, I'll wait second, or I'm going to read from this key we have been given. So I have all these verses laid out before me. We can go to the scripture to read that too, but if you want to look at it, Acts 20, verse 32 says, Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, past tense, all given inheritance with, given inheritance to us too, with all those who are sanctified. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. So the Corinthians, knowing how Corinthians were, they were called saints too because they were saved. Even though they were babes in Christ, they were not growing in many ways. Not growing in Christ likeness in many ways. They were given all the gifts. We can see that in the book of Corinth, but the instructions were given for them to grow and to discipline those who are not showing evidences of growth or Christ likeness. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, and because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification, and redemption. So he became our righteousness, our sanctification, and redemption. 1 Corinthians 6:11. telling in reference to the Corinthians, Paul is saying that, and such were some of you, but you were washed. That means you were regenerated, you were born again, you were sanctified and were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruit to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and believe in the truth. God chose you to be saved through sanctification and by the sanctification by the Spirit and believe in the truth. Now I have a question. Look at that verse. The question is this. Let me see if I have a question here. Yeah. Question is this. Sanctification is a divine act preceding the acceptance of the gospel by the individual. True or false? Sanctification is a divine act preceding the acceptance of the gospel by the individual. You want me to repeat the question, the statement? Look at the verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Sanctification is a divine act preceding the acceptance of the gospel by the individual. The verse says, but we ought always give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and believe in the truth. It's a tough question, right? I'll give you another verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Christ, Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles in the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Christ, Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood. So here it says, to those who are elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit. So chose in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. So there also the implication is the sanctification is connected with his election. But that we can say about everything. God elected us to be regenerated. So when in God's election, regeneration was in the plan of God. So if you are regenerated, then God, if you're elected or if you're chosen, then regeneration is part of that election. And justification is part of that election. And sanctification is part of that election. So there are two verses, there are implications that we have been saved or we have been, saved through the sanctification by the Spirit. So the sanctification it's a divine act. So the statement I read was, it is a divine act preceding the acceptance of the gospel by the individual, the sanctification. Yeah. So Grant says it is. So God sanctified us before we receive the gospel. I think that that thought was also shared when Jeremy, when he talked about regeneration, that regeneration happened before we accepted the gospel. That is the only way, if our soul was not regenerated, because we were dead, right? A dead man cannot respond to anything. In order for a dead man to respond to God, there has to be God's work started. A regenerative act is already in place in order for us to. So that's why the doctrine and all the aspects of the doctrine of salvation, the regeneration, the election, regeneration, justification, sanctification, adoption, redemption, conversion, all those things happen simultaneously. It is all God's work. But that truth is there. So let me read one more verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 and 14. Hebrews 10, 10 and 14. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So we are perfected for all time. So the meaning of complete sanctification as well as the progressive sanctification is there. We are being sanctified, yet we are completely sanctified. It is a divine act. And that is the positional sanctification. Now, let's look at the practical sanctification a little bit. Okay, let me ask you, the idea of the sanctification, how do we understand this idea? We know it was set apart for God, holy to God. How do we understand this idea? That is practical sanctification. But the idea of, I'm going back to the whole idea of sanctification. How do we understand that? We discussed a few things from the Old Testament in the message. Yeah, that is there in practical sanctification. But I'm thinking, how do we understand sanctification from the Old Testament? The concept of sanctification in the Old Testament. What's that? The firstborn. Right, the first fruit also, the firstborn was set apart for God, and man and animals. And what else? How else? Until the Levites were separated for God, they were sanctified, they were holy to God. They were, until then, the firstborn were set apart for God. Even the law, that was still applied, because when Jesus was presented in Luke chapter 1, verse 23, he was brought to the temple, and there it says, in order to fulfill that law, the first one was set apart for God. That was the reason. Jesus was brought to be presented to the Lord. But the idea of that firstborn son as a set apart for priestly work for God, that was replaced by Levites. Levites were set apart holy to the Lord then, that point onwards. So what I'm asking is, in the Old Testament times, few things the concept of or the idea of sanctification was applied to persons and things and places. So what kind of persons were this idea was applied to? Priest. Who else? The priests were mainly set apart. That was their complete job. They were holy to God. They were set apart for completely serving the Lord for that work alone, for His purpose. What are the things set apart for God? Sanctuary, then things. So that is a place, that we can say things. The vessels, the vestments, or the garments, they were all set apart for God's purpose. So they were all called holy. And they were sanctified by anointing. The persons were sanctified by anointing, and also they had a responsibility. The things cannot, they are anointed and set apart, but they cannot be unholy, but they cannot transform themselves to keep that holiness. But the priests were given the charge to keep themselves holy, morally as well as ceremonially. So you understand that positionally they were set apart for God, but they had a responsibility to keep themselves holy in order to serve the Lord. Then the places were set apart or sanctified for God. What are the places in the Old Testament? Holy of Holies, then the temple. Anything starts with a holy is for the Lord. You know, the holy priests, holy prophets, right? They called holy prophets. Then the holy, why we call Israel the holy land? Why? Because that's the place once the Lord Jesus walked, or that place was set apart for God's purpose, right? So holy Jerusalem, holy, what's that? Holy land, right, holy land. So holy Jerusalem, holy temple, holiest of holies. So where that idea of holiness connected with these people, things, and places. Either if it is a holy tabernacle, holiest of holy place, what qualified that place to be holy is the presence of God, the majestic presence of God. Now, when God appeared to Moses, God said in Exodus chapter 3, take your sandals off your feet because the place you stand is holy ground. Why? Why is that holy ground? Because it was not holy before, 2 hours before that. God's majestic presence was there, right? So that is made that place holy. So now in the New Testament we read holy apostles, holy people. Israel was also called holy in the Old Testament. So holy apostles, holy people. So we are set apart for God through sanctification, positional sanctification, right? So what qualifies us to be holy or sanctified is we, all those things happen at the time of salvation, the righteousness of God in us. But do we have the presence of God in us? Do we have the majestic presence of God? The Holy Spirit. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are. Are we, how many of us are sitting here? Maybe about 20, 25, 30 people. How many of us are set apart for God? All of us. Oh, Not few of us? No? So just like the Old Testament priest, they were solely holy for God's purpose. We are New Testament priests. Agree? Anybody who is not a New Testament priest here? No, everybody. So what is the purpose, ultimate purpose of our existence? Glorify God. We are set apart for God. So that does not mean, so what does that mean? So when we eat, we drink, we go to work, we play or we drive, we, all things, do all things unto the Lord. So is there a difference of secular and sacred in a believer's life? No. Do we do secular things? Secular work, secular things? We do, but for us, everything is sacred. Everything is for God's glory. How can we, if I have a very a mean boss for whom I work for, he or she doesn't understand, not a believer at all, how can I work there, do my job wholeheartedly for God's glory? Because he doesn't appreciate, she doesn't appreciate, I'm underpaid. How do I do that? What's that? Yeah, but you do it unto the Lord, who is ultimately, somehow you do it to glorify God, even if they are. Right. So I have a very mean wife or husband. How do I keep this relationship going? She's a saint. I established that fact in the beginning. So how do I don't meet all my expectations, or, you know, how do I keep this marriage going? Yeah, but ultimately, yeah, thing, you know, this is whatever I am called to do is for God's glory. Yeah. So we have to take everything in our life, in our lives, as we are set apart for God. Somehow God is going to be glorified through these things. So, yes. Yeah. Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Right. And also it we are called in our, you know, well, in obedience to the word of God, depending on the Spirit of God, to enable us to be responding to that person, not in a negative way, but positively. Humanly, I know it is very hard. We all know relationship, how it works. But we have more, we become more like Christ, it becomes easier. Because what is one of the greatest evidence of sanctification? There are many. What is one of the greatest? I'm thinking, you know, just... Maybe there are a few, but tell me one of them. New nature. What define, a little more specify, what is the new nature? We can be. The old man take a vacation. Great, that's good. So humility. Humility, right? The less, the more humble we are, that is an evidence we have this progressive sanctification in us. And also, we become more like Christ. There are many characteristics of Christ will come to play in us. Humility, humbleness is one of it. Couple of questions there. True or false? We are elected for the purpose of sanctification. true or false? The couple of verses I read, that implication is the Spirit sanctified for the purpose of salvation. But there are scripture verses, like in Ephesians 1:4 says, we have been chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ to be holy and blameless. So holy is the same word as sanctification. So we are chosen for the purpose of sanctification, right? So we are elect for the purpose of sanctification. And are we true or false? We are regenerated for the purpose of sanctification. Are we? In 1 John 3:9, quickly read this, 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. So we have been regenerated for the purpose of sanctification. But this is a practices means we don't habitually, we have a, continue to do sinful things. That does not mean we will not sin, but habit does not become a habit. That means we are going to be growing in sanctification. I'm going to close. Let me ask you some of that. If there is no sanctification, is there an election? If there's no evidence of sanctification, is there an election? Are we elect? How about if there's no evidence of sanctification, are we regenerated? If there's no evidence of sanctification, are we justified, declared righteous? So if we are positionally sanctified, that means the sanctification began in our life. That means has to grow, has to be some evidence. So let me read some of the, and I'll close out. What are some of the evidence of sanctification? Yeah. What does it say? All right, let me... Some of them, I think Jeremy went over when he was showing some of the evidence of regeneration. So if there's no sanctification, there's no regeneration. So there's some overlap here. There's a true love for the Lord. True or false? Yes, evidence. Loves the people of God. True or false? Yes. Loves the word of God. Yes. Loves the work of God, then there's some evidence of spiritual growth in that person. Some, should be more, some at least. Then the fruit of the Spirit. If the fruit of the Spirit, the Spirit of God is there, there has to be fruit. If there's no fruit, the tree is what? Bare. Cut it down, right? So fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? So these, some degree there has to be. So that means if you're progressively growing in sanctification, I should be a more loving person than 3 months ago. True or false? I should be more joyful person. I should be more peace-making person, right? Peaceful and peacemaking. And of course, patient and kind and godly and faithful and gentle and self-controlling. And you know, don't have time to look at the evidences of an unbeliever. We know what are the evidences of an unbeliever, right? And that should be less in a sanctified person. So these are the evidences of sanctification. We know a tree by its fruit. If we claim that we are sanctified positionally, that's our stand. Our state should somehow balance with our stand. If they're not truly saved, there are some ethical characters. They are not the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. You know, there are lots of ethics in people. Some of these characters can be come out, but they are not the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we cannot, in times of difficulties, what brings joy is that our connection with the Lord. So sanctification is, or holiness is, based on our connection. Everything connected, holy Bible, holy land, holy priesthood, holy vestments, holy temple, and holy apostles, holy people. Everything holy is connected with God, some relationship with, there's a relationship with God, that is called holy. So we are holy people, we are sanctified, that means we have a connection with the Lord. That should give us. So the sanctification, the progressive sanctification is also an act of God. The Holy Spirit accomplishes. I talked in my message about the means of sanctification, that is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Jesus prayed that sanctify them in the truth. The truth is the Word of God, right? So the Word of God is the one changes us. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies to the root of our heart, and it changes from inside out. Then our behavior changes when it changes within. And we can, without a change within, we can show some of the outward behavior. But the true sanctification is from within and come out. So, praise God, it is God's work from beginning to the end. And in practical sanctification, we cooperate with God in obedience. So I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Thanks for your attendance and patience. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you saved us because of your great mercy. You caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which will never fade, decayed, or destroyed, kept in heaven for us who are protected by faith, by God, through faith. So we thank you for all that you have done, doing. You sanctified, separated us for your glory. You are doing that work continuously in us. Help us to be more obedient to you so that we may be for the praise of your glory. Help us with this study to be more submissive to you, Lord. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.